Thank you. It's a real pleasure to be here. So thank you very much for the invitation. And I'm just going to give you some highlights of the work that we do in the Government Office for Science in Research Integrity. Let me see if. I'll just. There we go. That's me. Right. So just picking up on Rachel's point about the importance of trust in government, the Ipsos polling that Rachel talked about, which told us that scientists are among the most trusted, also told us that civil servants were less trusted, quite significantly less trusted. And actually, when we then look at the amount of trust in ministers, then ministers were even less trusted again. So we know that trust is really important. It gives us our sort of our power, I guess, and our mandate to govern. And it's really important as part of our sort of role in government that we work to address that. In the Government Office for Science, part of our role is to put science and engineering evidence at the heart of decision making across the whole of government. I won't spend too long on Go Science because I know it'll be really familiar to a lot of you, but I just thought it was worth a couple of minutes on this. Chief Scientific Advisor Dame Angela McLean runs the Government Office for Science, and her role is to advise prime ministers and governments on all matters relating to science and engineering and technology. I just wanted to flag this is the 60th anniversary of having a government chief scientific advisor. Dame Angela is the first female to hold that role. We are making progress, I guess, in some areas slowly, but all nevertheless making progress. Angela's work is to ensure that we have a really strong focus on science and engineering, and that sits at the heart of all of our decision making within government. To do this, we have four priority areas. I'm not going to read them out. You can see them there on the screen behind me. But the one that I wanted to major on today is our work to develop a more scientific civil service, because this is really where the work on research integrity comes into play. And part of the work that my team lead is to really support that. This includes overseeing a network of chief scientific advisors in all the departments across government who really bring that science expertise into the heart of government departments. We also lead and support a 10,000 strong government science and engineering profession, which brings together people across government and across public organisations who've got an interest in science and engineering or who have a deep expertise and work in that area to support public service. We work to increase the science capability of departments by supporting and advising them and helping them to develop science systems and to embed that as part of their sort of established organization. And this includes, for example, lots of things, but supporting departments to develop areas of research interest and publishing those. So you now can, for example, find all of those available on a database, and you can search those to look for areas that are of interest to you or your academic particular area, and to then connect to the relevant government departments with interest in those. And this is really where our work on research integrity fits in. We see it as a really important part of having that sound evidence-based science system across the whole of government, which works to support the trust that Rachel's already spoken about. In 2019, Go Science published a science capability review, which talked about a whole range of factors across government to improve science capability. And research integrity was recognised as an important and essential part of that. Let me just move on to my really technical. Let's move on to that slide. We published guidance in February 2022, which had followed taking the chief scientific advisors and the analyst functions, heads of professions across the whole of government, signing up to the Concordat on research integrity. The guidance then helps apply the Concordat principles in a government context. It builds on the ethical standards that we all follow across the civil service that are set out in the Nolan principle, and it applies to all government research. So it sets high standards for our research community, which include things such as upholding the standards of rigour and integrity, and ensuring that research is conducted to legal and professional standards. And we believe that this leads to better quality research, knowledge growth, and a stronger evidence base, which then comes back in to support the decision-making process across government. So since we published the guidance, we've worked with departments to embed that within their science systems and to help them to make sure that that's being used as they commission research and take that forward. We've also worked with departments to discuss and consider some of the practical implications for that. There are some challenges, and I think particularly when you're working in a government context. Some of those include things like identifying the right people, having the right resource available in a sort of very busy, very noisy civil service where there's lots happening, and therefore perhaps the space and time for some of this is a little bit more tricky. Finding appropriate training offers so that people can know what they're doing, but also then just raising the general awareness of research integrity overall. We've asked, as part of our guidance, government departments to publish annual statements on their research integrity. For 22 to 23, 11 government departments and bodies published statements. And we're really pleased to say it's the Department for Energy and Net Zero get a particular shout out for being the first department this year to have published their annual report. The rest of us are making good progress, but pre-election periods have slightly constrained the speed with which we've been able to progress some of that. There's more that we want to do, and some of the things that Andrew talked about, the implications of AI and how that relates to us is something. How do we sort of identify measures and indicators for success, and how do we then embed that into our processes is another area where we know there's more to do and we want to go further on that. But we fully intend to continue with our sort of journey on research integrity, improving and supporting the research culture within government and working with the academic community collectively to do that. We think that overall that will be a really important part of rebuilding trust and confidence in civil servants and in government, and look forward to discussing that further with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.